Welcome to the Natural Running Network. We are brought to you by Mio, makers of the world's first strapless heart rate monitor sports watches, and MedHab, makers of RPM Squared, an innovative system of gait analysis that slips right into your running shoes. My name is Richard Diaz. I am your host. Are you a runner? Do you love to get out and challenge yourself? Running your first marathon, or maybe caught the bug of obstacle racing? Well, sit tight, because this is a show you just don't want to miss. I have the great fortune of having Captain Robert Killian on with us. He is the current world champion of Spartan Racing, and what really brought my attention to him was this event called the Best Ranger. Robert, say hello to our audience.
Hey guys, how's it going? Good to be on the show today.
So Robert, let's start with that. That's really kind of got my attention. This Best Ranger competition?
Yep, that's it.
Man alive. I can't even imagine what that must have been like to conjure up a competition amongst all of the best in Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, it's the top 1% of the 1%, the most elite guys out there. Really difficult to even get to, you know, the competition. They only accept a 52-man team, so 100 guys. So you're actually having to go to a selection process even before, most major installations have that tryouts, and then they'll pick one team. So, yeah, it's pretty elite competition. It's, you know, one of the things that actually got me into OCR. I didn't know that much about Spartan Racing or, you know, all the other events out there until Colonel Collins, he's a previous Best Ranger winner, you know, got in touch with me last year after I finished second place, and he's like, hey, we're trying to put together a military team. Do you want to be a part of it? Because, you've done really well in Best Ranger. And I was like, well, what's it like? He's like, oh, it's like doing the Derby Queen like two or three times. He's like, no worries. You know, don't worry about it. You'll do fine. And I'm like, all right, I trust you. So I'll go out and do a race. But yeah, I mean, Best Ranger is, I mean, just give you a quick snapshot of how difficult it is. There's a Spartan sprint like within our competition, which is an amazing addition this year. Total surprise to me. Had no idea, you know, doing Spartans last year or, you know, being the world champion that they would add it into the curriculum this year, which was pretty cool. And, you know, the VP is a command sergeant major retired of Spartan. So Frank Grippy. So I don't know, you know, I'm sure he had a little hand in that. And I think it was a very good addition, and definitely helped me out. I mean, the techniques that you acquire from doing Spartan, the obstacles over there definitely helps if you're not out there doing it for the first time, which I think a lot of guys in the competition were. So, but then again, I mean, that's just one event throughout the entire, 3-day period. So we're going, 58, 60 hours straight. It's going from event to event. I mean, it's brutal. You're carrying your rucksack. You're not allowed to accept any outside aid or help, or you'll be dropped from the competition. So you're only allowed to eat military rations, which, you know, I'm not used to in any type of training or racing, because, you know, I have great, you know, electrolyte drinks that I have, you know, certain calories that I can consume. So it's a completely different ball game when you're, you know, forced to eat massively preserved, you know, like food with they're not bad, but I don't know if anyone's out there has had an MRE. I'm sure you can relate to.
I have.
They're not the ideal thing you want to be eating during a race.
I would imagine. Now, you say it's about a 60-hour event, and it's just like nonstop, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So, I mean, there's no planned rest or sleep. So what you kind of hope on is the way they run the event, they'll usually have like some type of mass start running event or rucking to kind of separate the field to get some gaps in between teams before they get to the second event, which is usually, you know, a really small obstacle course, what they call the Malvesti, which is, you know, just basic six pull-ups. You go up a rope, over some logs, and then across monkey bars, through the barbed wire with water, and then six more pull-ups at the end. And that kind of separates guys. So guys, you can only have, you know, like one or two teams go at a time. So if you're finishing, you know, towards the front of the run, which is where you want to be, you're going to hit each event back to back to back. So you'll go into that. You'll go into a, you know, body armor run. right to a swim. You'll grab your rucksack on the far side of the swim, go for like a ruck run, 6 miles into this year they included a kind of like a CrossFit obstacle type race where we were going through tunnels with, 250-pound dummy with in a Skedco. So mimicking, you having to move a medical lane if somebody was injured through, urban environment. And then you go into, we had to do an Atlas ball carry, a deadlift carry, push a Humvee. So then it was, this is the first year they've done that type of stuff too. So you had to have a lot of strength. And wow. I mean, we're not even through, half of day one. And then we're going into a spot jump. So you'll go into a helicopter, rig your equipment, jump out of an airplane, do a, parachute landing, grab another, I think this year they had six 5 gallon water jugs full of water on a skid. So about 250 pounds. And you have to drag that for about 1,000 meters. And I mean, it's just nonstop. And then it's just, you're just going, from one event to the other. Maybe you get 5 minutes rest in between each one. And what your goal is, though, at the end of the day, if you can get to the holding area before the foot march, so at the very, end of the day, end of the night, the big event to carry you from about 7 or 8 p.m. until, 11, 12, midnight, however long it takes people to complete it, is the road mile or road march. So you're going 17, 18, 20 miles. Everything's unknown distance. So you have no idea really how far you're walking, where you're going, which kind of throws a spin on it. Cause most races, I'm going to be going X amount of distance for X amount of time. You kind of have it in your head, but you're like, man, do I go hard now? Do I slow down? So you kind of got to, judge and pace yourself and kind of keep in a good position. So if you need to strike or conserve, you're right there when you need to be.
Wow. Lots to think about. I can't even imagine being in a situation where you don't even know what the destination is going to be.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, because you're out there at, pitch black dark. I remember a couple years ago, they even added weight to all of our packing lists. So you've already got about 50 pounds of, weapons, equipment, rucksack. And, they'll throw like, I think 2 years ago we had, after the third mile, they gave us like a full 5 gallon water jug. And we're like, all right, carry this for the next mile. You can't spill any water out. And then you turn that in, you get like a mile off. And they're like, all right, here's an ammo can full of sand. Carry that for a mile. So it was just kind of like, man, like you're already smoked and exhausted. And you have to add another, 40, 50 pounds and try to figure out a way to, work as a partner or two team partners. And try to carry that weight together and kind of, distribute the workload.
Have you done Death Race?
I have not. I kind of heard of it, especially when I went up to do a Gogi, because a lot of the Death Race, veterans were up there. I kind of looked into it afterwards, and it looks kind of similar to what you might experience in the Best Ranger competition. So
I read an article that was posed, I think, by some Special Forces guys, and they were looking at Death Race, and the commentary was basically around whether they would bother to do it, and they just didn't give it much cred because they figured, why am I doing this? Where in the military, you know why you're doing what you're doing. Do you get that kind of sense for these type of competitions?
Yeah, I mean, I read that article. I think I know which one you're referencing, and I think everybody has a different perspective. I mean, you can always, my perspective, you can always learn from, anything that you've done. Even if, in the military, I've been yelled at. Yeah, I'll probably be pushed, harder than some of the other things that I may do in the future. But if I'm out there, like helping others or developing or just, reiterating what I've already learned, I mean, you can forget something, and just tighten up your shot group by repetitively doing those type of things. And I mean, that's the way I take away from doing it. And I mean, it's a test, of your mental toughness and your commitment. If you, commit to doing something, it's, that, yeah, I could be sitting on a beach relaxing, drinking beers, but, But yeah, I choose to test my body's limits. I mean, the human body is an amazing, you know, thing. It's the most amazing thing in my mind in the world. I mean, if you truly think about everything that it's capable of and everything we've evolved to, I mean, it's mind boggling, you know, in the past, you know, 1,000 years. So, I mean, we haven't even been here that long, and it's a test of, yeah, how much can you take, and when can you get to that breaking point? And of course you want bragging rights too. You want to see, hey, who else, you know, thinks like this, or who else, you know, thinks they're stronger than me. I want to try to go test them, or, you know, challenge them and keep pushing. And I think that's that competitive, you know.
And you come from triathlon too. You've got quite a storied career in triathlon.
Absolutely.
If you were to compare triathlon to OCR, what do you think is the biggest takeaway? I mean, in mindset and competition.
I mean, they're very similar. Depending, I mean, there's different distances too. And for me, every distance has a, you know, type of different strategy, different comparison. But yeah, I think with triathlon, you're more going, like, you know, as hard as you can, almost redline, at your threshold is what we like to call it. Yeah, I'm sure you know, most people are familiar with that. So your point to where you're, you know, building that lactic acid, where you're, you know, you're at that exhaustion point, but you're not really going over it. You're just kind of right at that threshold. You know, you have what wattage on your bikes. It's very strategic. Whereas OCR, I feel like, you know, you're kind of attacking obstacles, but you have a little time to recover and kind of, you know, rest in between obstacles and kind of evaluate where you are, kind of figure out where everyone is around you. And I mean, you could do that in a triathlon as well, but I feel like you have to be more on pace, especially on the run and the swim. And I guess you can kind of use that transition on the bike to kind of figure out where you're at and kind of mellow out. But yeah, my take, I mean, I've looked at some of my heart rate data, and I've been, you know, near max heart rate in some of the triathlons I've done. And, you know, in a Spartan, I haven't been, I mean, I would say somewhat close, but I haven't been as close to my max heart rate during the events as I normally would.
Huh? Were you holding back?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just the you know, having to run up mountains and down mountains. It's more of a technical skill, especially on the obstacles too, where you're just, I'm attacking them different. I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about why that is, but yeah, I just feel like going up mountains, it's like, you know, just, I love doing it. I really enjoy it. It's something I train on a lot here in Boulder, and I think it definitely helps me.
You know, well, you know what I think it is that when you're doing an obstacle race, your central nervous system is almost taking over because there's so many unknown entities that you have to contend with. So it's almost conserving to some degree in preparation for what's not known. Where in triathlon, it's pretty straightforward. You know what you're dealing with. I mean, if you know I got to swim this far and you're in the ocean, you have one environment you're contending with, you kind of adapt to it and you kind of govern yourself relative to that. And on the bike, as you suggested, kind of tapping out in your power output or your heart rate, You kind of know. I mean, you start to wrap your head around, I've got about an hour left of this, and this is how I can, you know. And I can relate to that, but I think you're right. I think there's a difference in the mindset, which changes the whole dynamic of the competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's unknowns out there in the you're running through, you know, like crazy trails that, or even just woods, you know, you don't know what's out there. There's a lot of brush you're almost breaking, you kind of don't know where obstacles are, you haven't been on the course, so yeah, there is that big unknown, and sometimes you just need a little, you know, grit and heart to push you through it. Whereas, like, just like you said, in a triathlon, you can probably see, you know, like 10 miles down the road, especially in Kona, it's just never ending. You're just like, oh man, like I have this far to go. It's almost mind numbing, you know. You're on the bike for 5 hours with no, they won't let you wear music, nothing, so you're literally just sitting out there with your thoughts. I mean, trying to maintain and you know, hold on to what you got and
try to keep people from passing you.
Yeah, exactly. Get to that turnaround point where you can actually hit some tailwinds on the way back and enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yeah, I've been out there. I've been out there in that course. It's just really ugly.
Oh, it is. It's relentless. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. And so you won the world championships last year. And as I suggested to you before we kind of got live here, is that nobody at the time really, for the most part, had heard of you, with a few exceptions. And I suggested to you that Ryan Atkins had mentioned to me that he thought you were a triple threat. Because I asked them, I mean, I did this little pre-world championship interview with a couple guys and said, you know, who do you like, who do you don't like? And your name never came up except for with Ryan. And Ryan said, well, you know, I did a race with this guy. Man, the guy was really tough. And he went on and on about it. And I just really didn't know who you were at the time. And sure enough, you came out of pretty much nowhere and pounded these guys in the ground.
Yeah, I think there's a T-shirt out there now that says who the F is Robert Killian. Kind of showed up out of nowhere, and I think one of the things you know correlating this to the best ranger competition is I've been training for obstacle course racing probably for the past 4 years. I just never knew it. Like all this same stuff I'm doing to prepare for the best ranger competition really set me up to transition seamlessly into OCR, especially Spartan race. Yeah, I met Ryan in one of the first races I did, Pennsylvania, Jersey. We were neck and neck right there at the end on the swim, and I think that's where, you know, that technique kind of really helped them, that I just didn't know how to do barbed wire very well, didn't know how to do the rig very well, and they kind of got the break on me. But that was one of my goals coming into it, was to sit back, watch the pros, you know, the seasoned guys, how they negotiate the obstacles. And coming from a military background, you have to be very strategic sometimes and think about that kind of stuff, and, you know, really focus on the mental aspect, not just, you know, the physical aspect of going out there. And I think it helped out a lot, for sure.
Are you going to Montana? I assume you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a bit of a challenge trying to recover after a best ranger. I'm already feeling it in my legs just working out this week. And, I'm not going to say that I'm not going to go out there and push 100%, because I know that I will, but, I'm not sure if I'm going to be where I want to be, but, you never know, you know. Sometimes I always think that, after a hard race or a long event that I'm not going to do well, but I end up actually, for some weird reason, I race better than if I would have tapered for a couple weeks.
I'm sure you're familiar. I work with Hunter McIntyre.
Yep, I know, and Hunter. We talk about once a week on the phone.
Do you? Well, yeah, you know, he did Camp Kokoro, right?
Yes. I was looking at his pictures online. Looked pretty intense.
I tried to talk him out of that. I tried to talk
him
out of it.
Hunter out of anything.
I know.
He's got his mindset.
No, I know. I said, dude, don't do this. I mean, what do you need to do this for? Because my focus has been these target races. I want to see him win this Montana event.
Yeah, it's his race. He's a sprint guy. I mean,
yeah, well, it's just like I didn't like him taking all that beating, you know, in the middle of training. And so now he's going to hide under a rock for about a couple days, and then I'll hear from him, and then we'll get back to work, and hopefully we'll get him ready. But
I'm sure he will. He's been one of the guys that's been on my radar for sure. So especially since we raced early this year down in California, he had a really strong race.
I think it's going to be an interesting season. I think Montana's going to be fun. I think the whole thing that NBC being involved so heavily now, I think that's really going to change the whole dynamic for Spartan racing.
Absolutely. And the U.S. National Championships, too. I know a lot of guys, you know, weren't really planning on doing as many NBC races, but now this has got a new twist on it. I think, it's going to bring almost every race going to be like a world champion race. It's
right.
Going to be crazy.
I'd like to see them put more money in it.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, you see these reality TV shows, you know, I think it was at American Grit. I mean, they almost get like $1 million. Granted, it's a little bit of a longer TV series, but, you know, I feel like that's more reality-based, where this is like true, you know, true life. They were really going at these obstacles as pros as hard as we can. And
Well, they put $250,000 on the NBC thing, you know.
Yes.
It was a lot of money. I just think that given a series event like this where they're actually competing as professionals, there should be more money.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, you do have the overall races ending, and you get points money at the end too. So I'm not really sure how that money's going to get distributed yet. I've kind of did the math for men, women, and masters as they've been doing it in the past few years. And I think it only added up maybe like 60 or so if they were doing the same amount of prize money they're doing last year. So still leaves a lot of money out there for points, bonuses, or I'm not sure what the other money's going to go to.
Well, I think what I read, and I might be wrong, but what I gathered from it is that if you won overall point series, it was like $7,500.
Okay.
And I don't know whether there is some individual purses associated with the rest of it, but it didn't look to me like you could pull down much more than 10 grand.
From each race or just
no,
from...
No, overall.
Okay, wow. No, I was thinking each race would be... I think it was $3,000 for first last year, $1,200 for second, $800 for third. So then if you did that for men and women, I forgot how much the Masters was for each race. I think that adds up to where I'm, what I'm tracking was at five races to the $50,000, $60,000 plus the point bonus.
Hmm. Maybe I got it wrong.
That's how we did it last year. And it, I mean, so you have the potential for each race. If you won, I guess, $3,000, yeah, you would only be winning $15,000. But I think they add that for the men and the women. So that's kind of where all the money is getting added into the $100,000 prize per.
Yeah, I'd like to see somebody win $100,000 because...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. First place, $100,000. I'm with you. I like it.
Well, you know, I mean, really at the end of the day, when you want to develop a sport, the way to develop a sport is put money in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you remember, you might even have done the race, but the triathlon that they put on in St. Louis, it's the Lifetime Fitness Triathlon. Have you done that? The Lifetime Fitness Triathlon, when they first did their first event, they put a buttload of money on it. And because they were in control of it, what they did was they did a handicap for the women so a woman can potentially win the race overall. Yeah, and then what they did, they went around and shopped the event to all of the major networks. And so whatever network picked it up had to pay to do the broadcasting of the event, which basically paid back all the money they guaranteed for the winner, which was really smart. The idea being that, you know, you win $100,000 or something like that, $200,000 if you win overall. And the women could potentially be an overall winner, which was kind of cool too.
No, for sure, yeah.
I just think that creative thinking is what's going to develop the sport. I really do.
Yeah, I think so as well. And yeah, I think they'll get there. It's just, I mean, it's only a few years old. Still a lot of changes being made, trial and error. And I think we'll get there.
So pretty much your career has been what's developing your ability to do what you're doing in the OCR community right now.
Yeah. Just being in the military. I mean, there's amazing sports opportunities, you know, just not, you know, outside of, you know, you go to combat. I went to Iraq for a year. I spent a lot of time in Fort Polk, Louisiana, on my first duty assignment, which actually got me into triathlons because there's not a whole lot to do down there. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. A lot of long straight roads. So got a bike and started getting on it, and yeah, had a goal, just wanted to go to Kona. So before I left active duty, and the military has an all army triathlon team that does Olympic distance, and then one person gets selected to go to Kona. So it took me about 2 years to get selected to go to Kona for the army, and then I ended up winning the Armed Forces championship out there.
The Admiral's Cup.
The Admiral's Cup is, yeah, out in
Point Magoo,
correct.
That's where I live.
I've done that race 6 times.
I ride by that base every weekend on my bike.
Yeah, Highway 1. That's a pretty nice ride up there.
Yeah, I've actually been to the race. I've actually had athletes participate in that event.
Yep. Yeah, it's a great race. I haven't had much luck with it. I mean, I think the best I've ever placed is like 10th. It's big swimming sport. I mean, I've never really swam at all in high school or college. So I was kind of behind the power curve as far as trying to get, you know, my form down. There's a lot more to swimming than just, you know, getting in the water and going, you need to have some definite experience and knowledge.
Yeah, you're right. Have you ever done Malibu?
Have not.
My last Malibu race I did 2 years ago. I was 61 years old, and I did the Olympic distance.
Awesome.
And it beat my butt.
Only two I've done. I did the Honolulu Triathlon the year they had the Elite National Championships out there, and then Kona. There's only two Hawaii races I've done.
And you've done the Kauai Marathon a few times too, right?
Yes, I have. That was they were giving away $15,000 for anyone who can go under 2:30 because it's an extremely hilly, difficult course. And yeah, the year I did it, I think I did 2:34 and 2:32. Couldn't get it, but I mean, I was racing against four Kenyans, and they dropped out of the race completely. A guy from Boulder ended up getting it 2:28, and then I think I can't remember his name, Michael LaGuardia or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember his name, but he ended up going under that year too. So yeah, great for those guys. I mean, they had to split the money, but it was a good battle, and they ended up smoking me in the last few miles and didn't have anything left. But it was a great race. It's really pretty out there.
So talk to me about what happens next for you now that you've won this competition with the military. I mean, do they circus you around, and how does that all work? I mean, I'm assuming that just puts you in a really interesting light with the military.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There's it's the most prestigious, I mean, you know, competition in all of the armed forces. So it's there's a lot of, you know, generals and sergeant majors that want to know, you know, how you did it or how you trained, and they want you to be an inspiration for other soldiers out there, and you know, try to get them motivated and aspire to, you know, go to Ranger school to become, you know, better leaders. I mean, there's nothing but positive things that being involved with the competition, you know, puts you in. I mean, you're better trained to go back and train the guys within your unit. This type of stuff we do is, you know, the most important stuff that you would do during combat. We're shooting, we're doing medical. I mean, just, you know, moving with equipment. Call for fire, you know, I mean, you're doing everything that you'd be expected to do in a combat environment, just, you know, during, as a part of a competition. So,
yeah. I told you, my son's in the 160th, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And, he just re-enlisted.
Okay.
And he told me that, well, actually he's re-enlisted twice maybe. It's been so long now, I forget. But he told me that, you know, when they were going to put him in reserve duty after his first stint, that he wasn't going to have any part of it because they could put him anywhere. And if he was going to be anywhere, he wanted to be with his unit. So he just would secure his future by being with his unit because he knew that he was with the best of the best and that was going to be a safe place for him.
Yeah, I mean, once you start getting involved, you know, with the special operations guys, and I mean, they're, you know, everyone's there on a voluntary basis. So they, you know, want to aspire to be more than just, you know, in the Army, more than just, you know, an infantryman. They actually want to be, you know, in that top tier. And those are the guys, I mean, when you get there and you're working with them, I mean, it's a different kind of Army when you're, you know, working with, you know, the most elite guys, the most fit guys, you know, really intelligent. They have that drive, and yeah, you don't want to go back to work anywhere else once you've been part of that group.
Well, it just made me feel better about the whole thing. Yeah. Every time he'd go out on a mission or something, I get a sense of calm knowing that he's at least being, you know, looked after by some of the best there are.
Yeah. No, I agree for sure.
So are you going to stay in the military, or how's that going to work for you?
Yeah, so the way I've been doing ever since I got off active duty, there's been in the National Guard what they call active duty for operational support orders. So you would, you know, if you need to assist on a mission that you're going to be planning for, you would go on orders. So I think last year I was on 8 months of those type of orders. The year before we did a mission to North Africa, to Morocco. And last year, you know, we just did some, I guess, our annual training at a Havace West is the, I guess, the name for it down in Cannon Air Force Base. And you pretty much are just going through a massive, you know, culmination exercise where you incorporate, I mean, just call for fire, airborne operations, you know, direct action attacks. You know, we're shooting large caliber weapons, 50 cal, Mark 19. I mean, you just, you name it, we're out there doing a lot of, you know, special tasks that we would do, you know, if we were called to do a mission for the special forces or something.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, you have to stay on that, you know, training cycle and top tier, and, you know, to be able to do that. And the National Guard is a little bit more difficult because you only have those, you know, few days a month and those couple weeks a year. So we really need to maximize on our time. And there are other opportunities to go to schools. And I think that's my next thing as an officer. I probably should, you know, go to grad school, get my master's degree. I'm at 12 years active federal service right now. So I've got 8 more to go if I want to retire active. And then add another 10 on that if I want to retire within the National Guard.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, I'm looking for jobs. I mean, one of the cool things about the military and the National Guard, I mean, there's all Army sports programs. I've, you know, been a part of the orienteering team, which really helped me, you know, in the Best Ranger competition, because, you know, one of the longest parts of it's 11 and a half hour land navigation portion where you're out there, you know, rucking with your partner, trying to find little tiny chem lights in the middle of the woods, you know, at night, going through terrain. All you have is a compass map. You know, you're not allowed to use any GPS or, you know, like watches, none of that. So you're, you know, you're navigating strictly with, you know, map, compass, protractor, and your brain. So, again, you know, a detrimental skill that's important, you know, when you're out there on a mission, you know, and you may have to evade or escape somewhere, and, you know, that's all you have because you don't want anyone to be able to track signal devices. So,
right.
Yeah, wow. I mean, all that stuff is, yeah, important and plays into, you know, what we do out there in the, you know, battlefield. And, I mean, I definitely want to retire in the military, and I would like to, just be kind of a coach, a mentor to the younger guys that I'm, you know, about to make major, kind of getting promoted. Won't be able to go out and do, you know, as much cool guy stuff as I'd like to. Eventually, I know I have to sit behind a desk and, start doing, you know, like planning and kind of mentoring, and I can't be out there shooting guns and jumping on airplanes for the rest of my
darn
career,
it.
But I know I'm hanging on as long as I can. I mean, I think I'm one of the oldest captains in the Army right now with, I think I've turned down major the past 3 years, mainly to get, developmental time as a detachment commander, because I transitioned so late, into the special forces. You still need that time before you're, promotable. So it worked out for me. I got a few more extra years, dodging some desk work. So,
what do you do for work when you're home?
Well, I've just been off of orders since September of last year. So that was my last active duty order. And usually when I'm on those orders, I'll drive out to Watkins, Colorado, and work on the staff up there, you know, just planning for whatever they got going on, you know, whatever training meetings that they got going on, to kind of schedule out the planning over the next year. We call it like our battalion training management seminar. Or have a military ball, you know, come up or something. I'll coordinate for that. Just kind of helping out, you know, staff positions, any missions that come up overseas. You know, you coordinate with the embassies. You're, you know, getting guys on orders so they can come in for training. Make sure all their equipment's squared away. There's a lot, you know, a lot of that goes into it. But yeah, it's a weird thing. It happened that I was able to go into Spartan racing and transition to the pro team when I did, because I literally wasn't sure what I was going to do this year. I had definitely planned on going back to college and getting my master's degree, which I'm still kind of developing a timeline for that. But I mean, I've always wanted to be a professional athlete. I mean, it's a goal, and it's something that I, you know, as I get older, is kind of, you know, it's inevitable. You can't compete at a certain level once you get a little bit older. So I figured, you know, I've done 12 years in the military. I've done a lot of other things. I might as well take 1 year to really kind of do what I want to do. So
when you watch Matt Novakovich, does it give you hope?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I keep watching his videos. You know, his 30% inclines on the treadmill, they got me all motivated to go out and run some mountains. And yeah, I mean, I'm going to do it for as long as I can, absolutely. And yeah, it's been a blessing. I mean, it truly is, to be able to to do this for, you know, the next year. And I think, you know, as I hopefully win more races and pick up some sponsorships, it'll be more realistic to actually, you know, pay the bills and, you know, be something that can provide for my family. Cause I can't be out there. You know, a lot of guys are single out there, you know, doing events, and I don't have a lot to think about, but, I know all the dads out there, you know, Bradkin, Cody, we have a different, you know, approach to, you know, what we're able to do as far as, supporting our family while being athletes at the same time.
Absolutely. Do you have designs on World's Toughest Motor?
I did it last year, as a pretty much like, all right, the way it went down is as soon as I finished Worlds, everyone was like, well, you got to do this now. Now you have to do this. So I was, before I knew it, I was signed up for Warrior Dash Worlds, OCR Worlds, World Toughest Mudder Worlds. And I'm like, I haven't even raced any of these before, but you know, I wanted to go out and just experience them so I would know how to train this year. I mean, I had no intention of winning any of those races, just to kind of go out and experience the differences between those races and Spartan. And after doing them, I definitely, you know what I need to adjust. Because each race has a different aspect, and World Toughest Mudder is just about staying warm. Yeah. I mean, it is about endurance, it is about strength, but I would say more than anything else, it's nutrition and staying warm. I mean, you just really, your body temperature gets down. I mean, you cannot effectively,
you can't
run. Yeah, you can't. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you train and how much endurance, because I was literally just not tired at all, but I could not keep my core temperature up high enough to where I felt like I could run faster. It was just, it was a weird feeling. So now I know what to change, and I'll go back maybe this year with some new goals.
Well, the sucker's bet is to do it as a team and then try to get 100 miles, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the 25,000. And I actually was going to go into it last year with the team, but Ryan Kent blew out his ankle in Dallas. So it was going to be, I mean, it would have been a good team if you think about it, because Chad won the whole thing. It was going to be him, Chad, I, and then Appleton. So yeah, we were going to, you know, try to beat Ryan and them. But I mean, that's a really hard thing to do, is to get four guys on the same page running the same pace. I think they've actually changed it this year to, I think, like two guys can win like 10 grand or something. Yeah. You get like a two-man team. So but yeah, we'll I don't know if we're going to do another team this year. I'll do it individually. I'll kind of assess where we're at.
Well, Nick Holland is probably looking for somebody.
Okay.
You know, nice. I would absolutely put my money on him if he has a couple other people with him that can hold up their end.
Yep.
Because last time they just didn't. I mean, you know how that shook out. He came out of nowhere, just missed podium, and he had to make up I don't know how many hours because he was lagging with his team.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, that's the thing, is deciding, yeah, whether you want to go as an individual or try to gamble with the team. But you never know how those guys are going to perform. I mean, you could have someone who's in even better shape than you just have a bad day. You never know, you know.
Yeah.
If they're not taking in calories, they're not drinking properly, they're just really hyped up, their anxiety, you know, they're just nervous. It plays a toll on a 24-hour race. And
that's why I call it a sucker's bet.
It is. It really is. Yeah, you never know.
Well, not only that, but you have that pressure to try to get the 100 miles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a, I actually was, yeah, I said that I wanted to go 125, and I blew up, I think, around mile 65, 70. Granted, I also ran in a pair of shoes that I had never worn before, which I thought would be awesome, but I ended up running, I think, 21 miles after that in my army boots, because I was going right to the selection for Best Ranger like the week after that, and I brought all my gear to fly right to Georgia, and I was like, I had no ankle support. I've got extremely flat feet, and I ended up wearing the Ice Bugs because I thought they have this amazing mesh and the water would just drain out. And I was like, well, if I'm going to have wet shoes the whole time, I'd rather them be kind of light and dry.
Right.
I didn't factor in the ankle support. The hard soles just beat my feet up. So I ended up wearing my Nike, you know, Special Forces boots, Special Field boots for like 20 miles, and they were amazing. So
maybe next time.
Yeah, I'll definitely be making some wardrobe and a few changes for the next attempt.
So looking at the season at large, looking just at Spartan, for example, how do you think it's going to shake out? Who's going to be the top of the heap for the men?
I think, you know, the same guys, unless, you know, there's another Robert Killian that shows up. Hope not, because but you never know. But myself, you know, Hunter, Cody, Brian, I mean, Chad, I mean, all the pro team guys are capable of winning races. That's the thing, is we are, any day, you know, whoever's at their 100, 110% efforts can be on the podium. And it's going to be exciting. I mean, that's the thing about OCR, though, is you got to look at injuries, you got to look at courses. Every course is different. You know, every course is going to have their, you know, probably favorite guy that has a, you know, a little bit of an advantage, either, you know, as far as flat races, speed, mountains. I'm sure they're going to throw some twists in this year with different obstacles, and it's going to shake things up a bit. So, I mean, it's all how you relate and bounce back from that. I know sometimes, I mean, if guys have one bad obstacle, I mean, they'll destroy themselves for the rest of the race. Whereas Cody, man, he'll miss an obstacle and he'll you know, push twice as hard, and he'll be right back up there with you before you even know it. And you're just like, man, how does he do that? But yeah, I mean, that's one of the things about OCR. You have to have a clean race to be competitive. And hopefully, you know, that's the thing about obstacles. You know, you hope for you to do them correctly, and maybe for some other guys to make some mistakes.
Yeah, it's a cool sport all the way around. I think that there are so many unknowns, and it's just evolving. Every year you're learning more and more things are happening. I just really enjoy the sport. I really like it so much more, as I told you earlier, than triathlon, because triathlon really is a spectator event. It's like watching grass grow. You know what I mean? It's just like the hardest thing in the world to watch.
Absolutely.
And even when you're in it, it seems like forever and ever, nothing's really changing other than the intensity. Or, I mean, you get out there for a long time on the bike and it just gets old after a while.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I've been asked a few times, are you doing any triathlons this year? And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I'll be on my bike training, because it's a really good way to train, low impact, and you know, just a couple days a week, kind of to get off of, you know, beating your legs up on the mountains and stuff, carrying heavy equipment, etc. But yeah, I'm excited. I mean, that's the thing about these NBC races too, is we'll get to see where everyone's at. You know, every month you'll get to race with guys, and you can see, you know, where they're weak, where they're strong. And I don't know, some guys may overtrain trying to crush themselves for NBC and not have enough at the end for Worlds. It's through, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic to see how many people can maintain that that level, because some people think you can just, you know, go straight up that mountain and can spike. But I mean, it's more like a roller coaster. You have to have your downtime to be able to, you know, go that much higher the next time that you go, you know, back on your uphill climb to try to peak.
When you look at the sport in common, and we're basically breaking it down to three events, the sprint, the super, and the beast, where would you say you shine most?
Definitely the beast. I mean, I'm an endurance guy. I like the longer, you know, more grit races. I mean, I am capable of running, you know, 15 flat, 15, 20, 5K, but I, you know, really have to work hard to do that. Whereas I feel like in a beast, I can still maintain that fast pace just over a longer period, and it doesn't wear me out. I have a natural gift, natural talent. I'm, you know, extremely thankful for it. I can just maintain, have really, you know, high threshold for longer distances, especially in the mountains. I mean, that's one of the things I love about Spartan in particular, is they incorporate, I mean, almost all their big races are on ski resorts, and you're one of the hardest obstacles is how much you climb. And a lot of guys, you know, from the Olympic, you know, track and field, athletes came out, you know, to Worlds, a couple guys, I mean, they went blazing out in front of me, and I was like, man, who are these guys? They're, you know, they're hauling. But as soon as we, you know, started climbing, it's a completely different ball game. You can be a, you know, 14 minute 5K or whatever, 13, but if you're not, you know, able to run hills, it'll crush even those, you know, Olympic caliber guys.
Somebody forgot to tell them there was going to be a hill on the course, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it's that's the thing too, is there's some amazing, you know, hill runners out there and trail runners that I think are going to transition into the sport eventually.
I have a couple of friends that I've been trying to get to do it and they won't listen to me. They're very, very resistant. And I know a couple of guys that are just such amazing runners in the mountains that if they were to decide, it would be really a big deal.
Yeah, I'm hoping they stay away.
So. Yeah. What's going to bring them is the money, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, and they're making more, I'm sure, doing, you know, ultras and trail running and stuff too. But
Gray, he's world champion caliber at mountain racing. I don't know that he's got any upper body strength, but I think we could train that into him, and you just will never catch him in the mountains.
No, I do think a lot of guys are afraid of getting injured because, I mean, you're not always running on trails, and it's the descents are pretty brutal sometimes. I mean, I've been trying to improve my descending. That's one of the things, you know, that Ryan on his, you know, mountain biking background has a little bit of an advantage over me. And same with Hunter. I don't know how those guys descend too fast or just natural gravity pulling them down. But, yeah, they're fast. I mean, that's where Hunter usually catches me. I mean, I know what I need to work on. I've been working on it. But that's something, you know, just like you wouldn't think about it, but you need to work on downhill running. It's not, you would think, you know, just gravity, you know, downhill, I can run fast. But no, it's like anything else. You have to train on that, you know, particular part of the race.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do running clinics. I did one yesterday. And one of the things that we do is we very specifically focus on downhill technique.
Right.
And what I like to do with my athletes is I have them do repeats on the downhill. Walk up the hill, come down the hill technically sound first, and then progressively work on their speed, but work on their technique first, then work on their speed, and do repeats like that. You have to learn to run downhill, just like you would. There's not much technique going up a hill, right? You just got to hammer yourself up there.
Yep, absolutely.
And a lot of races are lost on the downhill.
Yep, I agree. Yep. Sure.
First of all, let me just thank you for your service.
I appreciate it.
It's guys like you that are keeping my son alive. And I respect and admire the work you do. And, you know, before I run off, and since it just came to mind, have you ever looked at some of these guys and thought, man, what a waste. If we can get these guys in the military, wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah, I've been trying to hound Isaiah Vidal, like, every time I see him about going in the Special Forces. He lives right there in Colorado Springs and 10th Group's right there. You know, he's a young guy. I think, you know,
I think it'd be perfect for him.
Yeah. I he's got a good attitude. So, I mean, I'm going to keep on him. I'll see him in a couple weeks. So, yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I definitely think there's, you know, a lot of OCR guys out there that would correlate into the military, very easily. And they would do, you know, great things and be a great asset.
Yeah. So tremendous assets.
That's one of the things we're trying to do is get the U.S. Army to come out in some type of sponsorship or have recruiters, you know, at some of the races. I know Battle Frog does, you know, the Navy SEAL guys are out there. So they've got that going for them. So I'm hoping, you know, Spartan will, you know, get some support from the U.S. Army. And it's hard, you know, for the Army to branch out sometimes and to you know, do the recruiting part. But yeah, I think it would be a great thing for both parties. And we're making the right movements. I mean, the Spartan Race is the only one that does races on military installations. So there's one at, you know, Fort Carson, Fort Benning, Fort Bragg, and Fort Campbell. So they're getting that military involvement there. And I think they're bringing more civilians into interacting with our military as well at those races and making connections. And, I mean, it is really an all-around good thing. I mean, the things we do for our wounded veterans, Bravo Company out there, you know, fighting PTSD, you know, having, you know, veterans, suicide awareness. I mean, they're doing a lot of things. Operation Enduring Warrior for, you know, wounded veterans. I mean, just true warriors out there doing races and crushing them, you know, missing limbs. I mean, it's really amazing. There's no excuse for someone not to, you know, to say that they can't do something when those guys are out there. I mean, adaptive athletes, I mean, you name it. And, you know, Spartan's one of the only sports that I know that, you know, really caters and gives back to so many different, you know, organizations at the same time.
Remember me if you ever think of something that I might be able to do to help, because I'm all about it myself. And I thank you for what you do. And I thank you for coming on and doing this with me today. And Trevor, I wish you the best of luck this season, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I'm going to push as hard as I can. And yeah, hopefully the fans are out there. You know, they're really supportive. I didn't realize how many there were, but I mean, in just over a year, I mean, it's been pretty unreal, and or just under a year. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm going to keep pushing this year and see what I'm capable of. And you brought up, definitely, I forgot to bring this up earlier, but Ryan Atkins, who introduced me, you know, kind of as the unknown, but we have like a great relationship. We, you know, go for, you know, runs after our events and stuff, but definitely one of my goals for this year is to take him down in Battle Frog since he's undefeated. So figured I'd spice things up a little bit and call him out.
Well, I like that smack mouth.
He knows I'm coming. So I told him I'd be in Toronto. So I told him I'd take it to his home country.
You're going to go get him. You're going to go to Canada to get him.
But he's an extremely talented athlete. And I mean, it's going to be the most difficult thing to do is to beat him on. That's almost his, you know, home field too. He designs the courses for Battle Frog. He's run them more than anyone else. So he, you know, is more familiar with them. And I was really hoping to see him in Atlanta. He was there, but ended up hurting his calf. So, and didn't get to race him, but had a great race too. I think I ran 7.5 minutes in front of second place. So it was a pretty intense course. And yeah, I'm hoping to. Oh, that's the only Battle Frog I'm doing this year. So hopefully he'll be there and he'll be able to race. And we'll throw.
I will call him out. I promise you, I will. I'm good friends with him. I like Ryan a lot, and I think he's a great athlete, as you suggested. But I love that you're calling him out. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I hope we can do it. I mean, I don't know if Battle Frog will let him. Sometimes when he designs the courses and sets them up, they won't let him race. So maybe that's one that he doesn't need to design, and we can go head-to-head and see what happens.
You should tell him. Say, look, design it, don't design it. One way or the other, me and you are going to throw down.
I told him that in Atlanta. I was like, hey, I'm coming up to Toronto. Hint, hint, you know. It's going to be me and you, so...
Well, best of luck, my brother, and I look forward to meeting you one day.
Hey, I appreciate it too, Richard. Thanks for your time, and thanks for having me on.
Take it easy. Take care, buddy. Well, friends, it's time to bring another show to a close. Be sure and tune in to us next week. We've got a lot of great content in store for you. I want you to tell your friends to check us out. You can always find us on Facebook. Simply go search the Natural Running Network. Drop us a message. I'd love to learn more about you and the things you do. And until then, you have an amazing day.